Parshas Kisavo, the Tochacha is always a very serious parsha. There's certain morbidity to the parsha that really strikes us. It's a time of year, Elul, getting ready for Yom Ha'Din, and then Moshe Rabbeinu really frightens us with 98 curses. Really frightening stuff. And I don't want to talk about any of that tonight. I want to talk about a few different ideas related to Kisavo from Rav Schwab, all from Rav Schwab this evening. First idea we'll talk about tonight is really in the beginning of the parsha. It's based on a medrash, a sefri, the halachic medrash on Sefer Devarim. And it tells us that the first mitzvah of this week's parsha is, of course, the mitzvah of Bikurim. That when you're in the land of Israel, the first fruits, you tie a little string around it, and those first fruits, when they ripen, you bring them to Yerushalayim, you present them in a special basket to the Kohen, meaning a very nondescript basket. That's what's special about it, not a gold basket. Simple basket, you present it to the Kohen, and you make a certain declaration. And the Medrash says that do this mitzvah, so that by doing this mitzvah, you'll merit to enter the land. What's the problem with that medrash?
Because you're already here in the land.
Right. What does that mean? What's the medrash talking about? You're in the land. You're going to do the mitzvah. By doing this mitzvah, you'll merit to enter the land. What is it talking about? And furthermore, Rav Schwab points out that when you read the Parshas HaBikurim, that which the person has to declare when they bring their first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, what do you say? You say, Higadeti hayom la'Hashem Elokecha ki vasi ala aretz asher nishpa Hashem la'vaseinu la'seis lanu, in Pasuk Gimel. That you'll say, I declare to Hashem that I came to this land that Hashem swore to my fathers to give to us. Right? So one second. Hold on. One second. You came to this land? What are you talking about? You came to this land. You might have been in this land, right? That for how many generations are you in this land? What do you mean that now, right? I have come to the land that Hashem. What does it mean you have come to the land? Who knows who's saying this? A person could have been saying this 10 generations in to Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean here? Higadti yom l'Hashem alkecha ki vasi ala aretz. So Rav Schwab has a very, very interesting teretz, very different type of teretz, that's based upon Mishnayos in the beginning of Maseches Kelim. Maseches Kelim is one of those tractates of Mishnayos that most people, their eyes will glaze over when they talk about Kelim. It's about the laws of Tumah and Tahara, purity and impurity, of different type of utensils. And it's as technical and as detailed as you can get. There are 30 chapters of it. It's really tremendously, tremendously hard to work through Maseches Kelim. But in the first chapter of Kelim, it says that there are 10 levels of holiness in the world, right? There's the holiness of the whole world. Then there's the holiness of the land of Israel. Then there's the holiness of Jerusalem. Then there's the holiness of the Temple Mount. And so on and so forth until you come to the holiness of the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, the Devir. Rav Schwab says that perhaps what this pasuk is talking about, Kivasi ala aretz, is teaching us something very different about the land of Israel and all other lands. To say you've come to America, when have you come to America? You land at Newark Airport, the big sign, welcome to America, right? But when do you really come to the land that God swore to our ancestors? When do you enter into the land of Israel? You land at Ben-Gurion Airport? There's a great Rashi who says, why do you go to Eretz Yisrael? Because they have the best falafel and shawarma in the world? That's not why you go to Israel. That's not why you go to Eretz Yisrael. To go to Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean the beaches of Netanya and Eilat. Go to Florida, go to the Caribbean, right? What is going to Eretz Yisrael about? Going to Eretz Yisrael is entering into a different world. It's entering into a world of holiness. Again, most people have no idea what that means. You know, that's one of my favorite stories ever, and I literally saw it happen in front of me. It's like a classic Eish HaTorah story. And when I was my second year in Gush, I was hanging out in the Eish Basics and just watching Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, dealing with the guys at Mamsh, just, you know, the proverbial walnuts. They come off the wall. Hey, you want to learn about Jewish wisdom? Rav Meir Shuster is at Tzal, say, hey, go up to Eish. And there was a guy there from Ireland. I think he was Jewish. And Rav Noach was talking about holiness, and the guy was like shaking his head. And Rav Noach's like, my friend, tell me, is there something wrong that I'm saying? He's like, Rabbi, this land is as holy as Dublin. There are more pubs in Jerusalem than there are in Dublin. There are girls here with machine guns. I'm like, I don't know what that meant, but he's like, something exciting to him. You know, and Rav Noach was, you've been in Jerusalem for a while, my friend. He said, I've been here for a week and a half, sleeping at a youth hostel on Jaffa Road. He's like, tell me, since you've been in Jerusalem so long, how many bafuf sticks have you seen? And the guy's like, what? He goes, bafuf sticks, how many bafuf sticks have you seen since you've been in Jerusalem? The guy looks at Rav Noach like, and he was like a little thrown off. This guy was so cocky. He was so arrogant. He was so self-assured. And Rav Noach really, he was like, what are you talking about? He goes, bafuf sticks. How many bafuf sticks? You've been in Jerusalem for a week and a half. How many bafuf sticks? And the guy fell right in. He told Rav Noach, Rabbi, if I don't know what a bafuf stick is, how do I know what you're talking about? And Rav Noach said, tell me, my friend, you know what holiness is? That you know what you're talking about when you say Jerusalem is as holy as Dublin? What do you expect to see when he came to Jerusalem? He expected to see angels hanging from the lampposts? It was a classic Rav Noach. Going to Israel, to Eretz Israel, going to Yerushalayim, then going to the Beis HaMikdash, you're coming to a different land. You're entering into a different world. Yes, that the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing your first fruits to Jerusalem, to the Beis HaMikdash and to the temple, yes, this mitzvah, the reward for this mitzvah will bring you into the land. Again, not the physical contours of what we know of as Israel, but it'll bring you into a land of holiness. When the person says to the Kohen, when he comes in, when she comes into the Beis HaMikdash, Higadti hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, kivasi el ha'aretz, I've come to the land. What does that mean, that I've come to the land? Rav Schwab says it means that I've come to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the heart of the land. Now I've arrived. This, you know, like, I know when a person comes to like Times Square, this is America, right? Or maybe someone who goes to the Capitol building, he's standing in the rotunda of the Capitol looking up like, wow, you feel America. So a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash. Welcome, you're now in Eretz Israel. This is what it means to come to the Eretz. This is what it means to come to the land. And this idea of Rav Schwab really highlights for us the notion that we find in a number of different places. Rav Volbi, one of the great Baalei Mussar of the 20th century, talks about this in Alei Shor. He talks about, for example, Jewish learning being like uprooting yourself from one world and planting yourself in another world. There's a reason why Torah study is so difficult. And we don't want to do it, and it takes time, and like, kol hakavod to all of you for schlepping out tonight. But why is it? Because Rabbi Volbi writes that when you learn Torah, it's like you're ripping yourself up from one world, and you're planting yourself in another world, a different type of existence. That's what it is to enter into the world of holiness. The mitzvah of Bikurim, how does the mitzvah of Bikurim specifically, this Rav Schwab doesn't say, but I think it's very simple. How does the mitzvah of Bikurim bring you into the world of holiness, bring you into the land of holiness? Because what's the mitzvah of Bikurim all about? It's about seeing God in everything. It's about seeing God in the fruit that was you plucked off your tree. You see God in it. Thank you, God, for this fruit. Right? The whole notion of recognizing God's role in reality. When you made your cup of coffee, or the barista made the cup of coffee, but yet when you take the cup of coffee, what do you say over the cup of coffee? Shehakol nia bidvar, that everything is from God's word. The cup of coffee, you say thank you to the barista, you pay the barista. But you're saying, thank you, God, I know this is you. This is all from you, Ribono Shel Olam. And that's how when mitzvah of Bikurim, it's in the zechus, in the merit of doing this mitzvah, of being able to see that everything is from God, that you'll be able to enter into the land. You'll be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. You'll be able to enter a different worldview, a worldview in which the Ribono Shel Olam is everywhere. The Ribono Shel Olam, God, is everywhere. And that's really what this mitzvah is about. And that's why this is a mitzvah that we head into Rosh Hashanah with. This is always the second to last parsha we read during the year. It's the second to last parsha, Nitzavim, or sometimes Nitzavim Vayelech, the double. Again, that double is shorter than most single parshios. Nitzavim Vayelech. That Kisavo is always part of the Achan. And people, what's the classic reason why we always read Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, Tich Lashana Uklal Seha. Let the year end and then all the curses end. Because there's so many curses in this. When Neshama farms Faseinu, it's just like when you read about a carbon, it's like you brought the sacrifice. We read the curses, it's like the curses happened. Now we can go on. We can start a new year. But I think there's also another message. There's another message in the very beginning of Kisavu. You know why Kisavu is always a week and a half, a week, at least two Shabbosos before Rosh Hashanah? Because the message of Bikurim is the message of how do you see the world? And what's Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Hashanah is about revealing God's kingship over everything. That's what Bikurim is. And that's what Rav Schwab is saying. And that's why that medrash that doesn't make any sense, the language that the person declares when he or she comes to the Beis HaMikdash, Ki basi el haaretz, I've come to the land. Wow, I've come. What does it mean you've arrived in the land? That's ridiculous. You've been living there for 10 generations. Now you've arrived. Well, last year, what about last year? You said the same thing. You've been saying the past thing, same thing for 40 years when you always bring your fruit up to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means. It means that a person, and this is why, the reason why we have to work on this so intensely, we mentioned this in the Boys' Share this past week, is that one of the six constant mitzvahs is, we know, V'loso sura acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, don't stray after your heart and after your eyes. Meaning we're constantly being bombarded with messages that are just not true, right? We're being constantly attacked all around by perspectives on life that are just sheker v'chazav. They're false. They're not real. And the work is that we have to always be struggling with those different messages. A mitzvah of Bikurim allows us to enter the land of holiness. It allows us to enter a land in which you could see everything as holy. And that's why the mitzvah of Bikurim, although it's not a mitzvah that we get to fulfill today, but it's certainly the message of the mitzvah is so appropriate. It's such an important message for each and every one of us. And that's what Rav Schwab is telling us. Going into the land does not mean entering the physical confines, the physical borders, going through passport control. But what it means coming into the land, it means coming to the Beis HaMikdash, coming to get that different perspective. That's what Bikurim can help us do, and that's what we have to be working on. Because that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. That's what the new year is all about. It's about shifting the paradigm. It's about thinking about how the past year I've fallen asleep and I haven't been connected to reality, to holiness. Now I need to wake up to that. And that's, of course, again, what I believe of Schwab is saying. This mitzvah of Bikurim, of coming into the land. And this is also a message that we'll find a couple of times in this week's parsha. There's also another very important point in Perek Chavtes. And when we're coming into the, before we come into the Tochacha, actually, no, after the Tochacha, let's get past the scary stuff. We'll come back to some scary stuff. But let's pass the scary stuff. Let's go to the end of the parsha. We start at the beginning of the parsha, let's go to the end of the parsha. Yeah, Perek Chavtes. So, again, talking about things that don't make sense just grammatically, that when you're reading the Parsha, if you're just reading it simply, you should stop and ask, wait, what does that mean? Right? Like, why is a person saying, now I've come to the land? What are you talking about? That person could have been living in the land for 50 years. But in Perek Chavtes, so it's Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey, Right? So here, Moshe speaking to the Jewish people, and he says, you've seen everything that God has done for you in the land of Egypt, to Paro, to his servants, to his whole land, the great miracles that you've seen, the signs, the wonders, and Hashem didn't give you really a heart to understand, eyes to even see, ears to hear, until this day. It carried you through this land for 40 years in this desert. Your clothes didn't wear down, meaning like the Anani Akavod, the special clouds of glory, were like a dry cleaners. Your shoes didn't wear out. 40 years in the desert. I can only imagine what that could do to your shoes and to your sandals. Yet, somehow, it was a shoe shiner. Right, you didn't eat bread, you didn't drink wine or beer, so that you should know that I am Hashem, your God. What? Who's saying this? Again, if you're just reading this simply, who's saying this? You're seeing everything God's doing, everything that God did for you, right? And then all of a sudden, that I am Hashem, your God? What? Who's speaking now? And Mefarshim are bothered. Like, one second. Did we just shift tenses? Did we just shift who's speaking? Is Moshe speaking as himself? And we know most of Sefer Devarim is really Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. Samach Tes is one of the rare psukim when you step back in Devarim, Eil Divrei Habris Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, meaning that's like the narrator. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the Jewish people in first person. So what does it mean when he's saying, Leman Tedus, that you know, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I am Hashem, your God. Right? What do you mean, Moshe, I am Hashem, your God? You're just talking about God in third person, and now you're talking about God in like, first person, like, I am Hashem, your God? Obviously, Moshe is not Hashem. Obviously, Moshe is not our God. Right? So what does this mean? So, and then, after, again, it just continues, Moshe talking about from the perspective of what we've done together. So this phrase, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, is very troublesome. Rishonim and Achronim talk about what this pasuk means. So Rav Schwab quotes from Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch. Really, the word is from Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, but Rav Schwab, we know, is like a certainly direct spiritual descendant of Rav Hirsch, because Rav Hirsch was really the founder of the staunch German Jewish community in the 1800s, and direct descendant of his Rav Breuer was the Rav, and that's the name of the community now, Washington Heights, Breuers, that Rav Schwab became the rabbi of. So it was like a spiritual heir. And he says that, no, the way to understand this pasuk, Rav Schwab says from Rav Hirsch, and again, he explains all these things, L'man teidu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. The one that introduced himself all the way back in the beginning of Shmos, when you were in bondage in Egypt, that ani Hashem, the one that said, I am Hashem. And what does the name of Hashem mean? The name of Hashem means, Haya Hove V'yihye, that God was, is, and always will be. The name of Hayahove and Yiyah, the name of Yud Hey and Vav Hey, known as the Tetragrammaton, right? This name of God is the name of God as transcendent, the name of Hashem as beyond this world, beyond time, beyond the universe, beyond anything physical. So what Rav Schwab is saying is that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people here, Leman Teidu, that. And again, look at what he's talking about right before this. He's talking about something very, very personal, very, very intimate. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your shoes stayed good for 40 years in a desert. You didn't have to eat bread, and you weren't eating bread or wine or beer, because what were you eating? What was the implication? What were you eating? What? Yeah, right. You were, again, what's the common denominator of lechem, yayin, and shechar? These are foods that are long processes, right? It takes a while. There's a lot of human effort and a lot of human toil that goes into creating. I mean, it's not just you plant something and it grows, right? To make bread, to make wine, to make beer. But you know what you're eating? You're eating, as Cheryl said, manna from heaven. You're eating food that's coming down. Why? Leman teidu, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem. the one who revealed himself as Ani Hashem in Egypt, the God who is so transcendent, the God that's beyond time, that God is Elokeichem. That you have to know that God that is transcendent, that's so beyond, is Elokeichem, is your God. That God that is totally beyond the universe is the God that cares about how your clothes fit. That God that is totally beyond time is the God that cares that your shoes should be comfortable and your shoes shouldn't get worn out from 40 years in the desert. The God that says, don't worry about having to harvest the wheat and crush it and winnow it. And because God said, I'll take care. There'll be food from heaven every day. There's going to be a rock that's going to fresh spring water flowing, right? We know how much water costs these days, right? Back in there, like, oh, water, you have to pay the Wassertrigger, the water schlepper that goes with the buckets down to the river. Now, you know, water costs a lot of money, right? Hashem says, I got it. And Moshe says, all of these things, Laman Tehdu, so that you know, Ki Ani Hashem, the one who was revealed as Ani Hashem, Elokeichem, cares about you, is intimately involved in your life. And this idea of Rav Hirsch that I believe is such a beautiful yesod, again, connects perfectly with the beginning of the parsha. These are the bookends of the parsha, these two ideas. That the parsha of Kisavo, and again, we're not going to get into the whole parsha, but remember, what's the body of the parsha? What's the main part of the parsha, unfortunately, of the 98 curses? But it starts with the beginning about the perspective of holiness, a perspective of entering into a different type of world, a spiritual realm. And it ends with a parsha, a message of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, this God that seems so aloof, this God that seems so beyond, this God that seems to be not involved and caring, is Elokeichem, is the reason why all these things happened to you in the desert for all these years. Why you were so taken care of. And I believe these two messages of Parshas Kisavo in the beginning of the Parsha and at the end of the Parsha are two messages for us, really bookends for our year. These should be the bookends of our year, of understanding the Hakara Satov. We spoke about this, right, last week, about going into Rosh Hashanah, not only thinking about what we need, but what we want to say thank you for the things that we had over this past year. And if you really work on that, that will enable you to be Mekabel Hashem, to accept God as king. That'll be able to make Hashem king over you by appreciating, by working on that Akar Satov. It'll enable you to have, as they say, you know, Heilige Augen, right? Holy eyes. Right? You can have very, very physical eyes, but you can also have holy eyes. And the holy eyes see things very, very different than the physical eyes. And that's what Bikurim can do. That's what Hakar Satov, that's what the brachos can do. But also here, and again, this is for us to reflect that while the Jews, and again, why were they in the desert for 40 years? Why were they in the desert for 40 years? They're being punished. Right? And while they're being punished, Moshe Rabbeinu reminds them, meaning this aloof God, yeah, but understand, during these 40 years, what did he do for you during these 40 years? He still cared about how your clothes fit and how your shoes fit. Baruch Hashem, make sure that you didn't have to work too hard to eat. You didn't have to go too far to get water. It was really, what? Like a Gan Eden-type experience. Because think about it. What happens in Gan Eden? God tells Adam and Chava, you can eat from any tree in the garden. Enjoy. Who provides them with clothing? God, unfortunately, after the sin. But here, it's Kaviyachal. God is providing the clothing. God's making sure the clothing is okay. God is providing the food for them. Esman can take care. Don't worry about any of it. And this is something that I think Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you know, the Bali Musar say that on Rosh Hashanah, everyone always works on making Hashem king of the world. It's so important to make Hashem king of the world. But you know what's even more important? What's more important than making Hashem king over the world? Making Hashem king over you, exactly. You, no, I'm joking. Us, right? The individual, right? Not, meaning the idea that that, you know, it's good. Hashem, you're king over. Hashem, you're going to decide what happens with Iran. Hashem, you're going to decide what happens in the Israeli elections. Hashem, you're going to decide what happens in the U.S. elections. Hashem, you decide everything. Hashem, you control everything. Does Hashem control you? Does Hashem tell you what to do? Do you believe that Hashem's in control, really, of your life also? That's Ani Hashem. Elokeichem. That God that takes care of so many big things is Elokeichem. And Elokeichem, the Lashon of Elokim, means the Baal HaYecholus Kulo, Kol Yachal, the God that is involved in everything, the God that takes care of everything. And so that's what Ani Hashem, Elokeichem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people. I am Hashem, Elokeichem, who is your God, who is involved in your life. And of course, that's something that I think is mamish, like the yesod of Rosh Hashanah. The yesod of Rosh Hashanah is to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim over yourself. Again, it's great to declare God king over everything, over the universe. But just don't forget that God is also king over us, right? Because that, unfortunately, can be forgotten. So are you ready to move a little into the Tochacha? A little into scary things? Okay, a little, just a little scary. Don't worry, it's already a little bit late, but we're going to get a little scary. So, what?
She's no, ready. I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay, good, you're ready. So Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Chaf. Right? So this is another one of those things that, again, Rav Schwab is very sensitive to. He's very sensitive to the language. So look at Pasuk Chaf. Yishlach Adonai b'cha esam e'eres, amahum ames, amigeres, b'chol mishlach yadcha, asher ta'aseh ad hishamedcha, v'adav adcha, maher mipnei ro'a malalecha, asher azavtani. What's the problem with this one? What doesn't make sense if you read this? Let's see how the article translates it. Page 1079, verse 20. Hashem will send in your midst attrition, confusion, and worry. What is attrition? It's a me'era. Okay, all right. Me'era. Me'era is like the curses, the bad things. I guess attrition. Is that what attrition means? Someone knows? English? Where's my daughter when I need her? Okay. In your every undertaking that you will do until you are destroyed and until you quickly perish because of the evil of your deeds for having forsaken. The article translates the me with a capital M, meaning it's talking about God. But when did the tense shift? One second. How did the beginning of the pasuk start? Hashem will send into your midst all of these bad things. Right? Meaning, Moshe's talking about God in the third person, and then he finishes by saying, Asher azavtani, that you've abandoned me. An article translates that with a capital M, talking about God. So when did God go from third person to being first person? You hear the question? No? Should we go over the question again? We got the question?
Yeah.
Rav Schwab gives a fascinating answer. Really, wow. Wow. No, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, God's going to send these things because you abandoned me. He disagrees with the Art Scroll translation. It doesn't mean a capital M. It's a lowercase m. And Moshe is saying, for abandoning me, God's going to send all these things. What does that mean? Abandoning me. What does that mean that God is going to, when you abandon me, Moshe's not going in with them to the land of Israel. So what does it mean abandoning Moshe if he's not there? What is that talking about? And Rav Schwab says, what do we always say? Moshe emes, v'tarasso emes. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing for those 40 years with the Jews in the desert? You know what he was doing, the Gemara tells us? He was teaching Torah. Which Torah? Which Torah, Rachel? Torah Shir Bal Peh, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Rav Schwab says that Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of Torah Shir Bal Peh. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, if you abandon me, if you abandon Torah Shir Bal Peh, if you abandon the Torah leaders, meaning the Baalei HaMesorah, the ones that are transmitting the Torah traditions, that's when you're abandoning Moshe Rabbeinu. And unfortunately, you know, throughout our history, we've had such movements that have just been throwing away Torah Shir Bal Peh. And Rav Schwab suggests that's what Moshe Rabbeinu means here. It doesn't mean abandoning God. Art Scroll mistranslates it. No, Asher Azavtani, Moshe says, God is going to bring this if you abandon me. If you abandon the Torah Shebaal Peh. If you think you know better. If you think you know better than the Torah HaKadosha, you know better than the Shulchan Aruch, you know better, then Hashem's going to... This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, he says. And it's a fascinating, fascinating read of the Pasuk. Mamsh turns it on its head. Again, if you're not going to have Rav Schwab's approach, how do you read the Pasuk? How do you read the Pasuk? The Pasuk doesn't make sense. This is brilliant. I think it's and again, it's from perspective... We said Rav Schwab is the spiritual heir of Rav Hirsch. What was Rav Hirsch's major fight in his life? Germany, 1800s, the 19th century, against the Reform movement. That was Rav Hirsch's greatest fight. What he felt was really a total corruption of Judaism. And Rav Hirsch took a tremendous stand against it. And that's Asher HaZavtani. Again, I think that's why Rav Schwab is the spiritual heir of a spiritual descendant of Rav Hirsch. You know, he's mechaven. He comes up with such a pshat because he has that sensitivity. That was what Rav Hirsch was fighting against. People that will say, no, we'll take the written law, but not the oral law. Or we'll pick and choose what we want from the oral law. Who are you to do that? That's abandoning me, Moshe Rabbeinu says. You don't think you're abandoning God, but you're abandoning me. And if you abandon me, who's on my team? God. Hashem. Yishlach Hashem. Becha. Asher Azavtani. Because you abandon me. Really, a very innovative read of the Pasuk, but brilliant. I think it's a very, very great Chiddush. A very great Chiddush, what he says. There are other psukim to talk about, but we'll end just with one idea, with one more brief idea that we'll end with this one. We'll end with this one. It's very brief. Just turn a page earlier, right? Pasuk Ches Yitzav Adonai Yitches Abrocha Ba'asamecha B'chol Mishlach Yadecha V'iracha Ba'aretz Asher Adonai Lohecha Nosein Loch. Yikimcha Adonai lo la'am kadosh ka'asher nishpa loch ki sishmaris mitzvos Adonai Elohecha v'halachta bidrachav. What does that mean to go in God's ways? I understand ki sishmaris mitzvos Hashem. I understand what it means to guard God's commandments. I understand that. What does it mean v'halachta bidrachav then? What does it mean then to go in God's ways? So Rav Schwab suggests, and again, this is also an idea for Yom Narim. This is an idea for the month of Elul. That a derech, what is a derech? When you talk about a person's derech, a person's path, right? What does that mean? It means, in general, the way the person conducts himself or herself, right? When you talk about her derech, this is the way that she is. This is her derech, right? So Hashem has a derech, Rav Schwab says. Hashem has a derech, a general way that God conducts in the divine. So what is that derech? What is that divine derech? And Rav Schwab says that we know, Chazal tell us what the derech of God is. Because when we talk about v'alachta b'drachav, when we talk about the mitzvah of being God-like, what do we say? We say, mahu rachu mafata rachu, mahu chanu nafa. Just like God is merciful, you should be merciful. Just like God is compassionate, you should be compassionate. And we actually translated this into certain actions. If you remember Parshas Kedoshim, we shared an idea from Rav Schwab that was very similar to this. Just as God visits the sick, you should visit the sick. Just as God pays shiva calls, you should pay shiva calls. Mamash, these are the midrashim. So what's Hashem's derech? Meaning, to be godlike could also mean, in the parsha of the Tochacha, just like God punishes, you should punish, right? Just like God brings disasters, you should rain vengeance, right? Is that right? Right? Fury is vengeance, right? No, wrong. Wrong. Rav Schwab says, V'halachta bedrachav means following God's general mahalach, the general path. You can't say God's life, God, but the way God normally conducts divine acts. And the normal derech, Rav Schwab says, we see from Chazal, is clearly all chesed. Never once do they say, just as God punishes, you should punish. Just if anything, it's the opposite. We say, just like a parent punishes a child, so too God, right, has to bring afflictions upon an individual. Meaning, when we talk about Hashem punishing, it's not Hashem punishes, so you should punish. It's just as people punish, so too Hashem will also punish. Meaning, do you see what the pasuk is doing there? It's saying that's the furthest thing from God. That's a human thing. That's a human thing to punish. It's not a God thing to punish. But God will act like a parent in some ways, right? That the parent, when a parent educates, it should never be, God forbid, when a parent punishes, it's never to hurt a child. It's never out of anger. It's always to teach a lesson. And so too, that's how God acts. So Rav Schwab says that this pasuk, and again, it's so important that this pasuk comes right before what? Comes right before the horrifying 98 curses. Mamash, the part of the Torah that's the most frightening part of the Torah. The part of the Torah we know that the Ramban says is what our nation has lived through in the past 100 years. The Ramban says that the curses of the Tochacha are after the destruction of the Second Temple until Mashiach. These are the curses that we're going to suffer. These are the curses. The Holocaust was a kiyum of was just more of these horrific curses coming upon the Jewish people. But I think that when we talk about the Derech Hashem is not that. That's not the Derech Hashem. In fact, we've discussed this in previous years. The real Tochacha is God hiding, right, his presence, and then just nature running its course. And the nature, and that's something else, a different shot in this parsha, they thought maybe we'll talk about the nature of evil is to attack goodness and holiness. Remember, we said it's rare that you have real evil, but you do have real evil. And real evil hates holiness. Real evil hates purity. Right? And it's a Tisha B'Av story. But there's a story of a great tzaddik, Rav Mendel Pravozhinets, that when he was going into one of the camps, he stopped in this mass roundup because he heard crying. And he saw a little baby on the floor bleeding. The mother dropped him, who knows? And he picked up this Jewish child. And he screamed at the top of his lungs, "My entire Ahela Gayidin, my holy pure Jews. What did this baby do to them? What did this baby do?" And he said, "This baby did nothing. This baby is just a Jew. But the way of evil is to hate purity and holiness." So that's why these Rasha and Marurim, these evil, wicked people, they hate this baby. And he held this baby going into the gas chambers, singing with the Jewish people. That's the way of Rishus, to hate. And again, we're not gonna. That's another idea that Rav Schwab develops in this parsha from a number of different psukim. That's too intense. We're not going to go there, Cheryl. That's too much. That's Tisha B'Av. That's not Yom Kippur. That's not Rosh Hashanah. That's Tisha B'Av. Can't go there again. We're done with that. We're changing perspective, right? But what we talked about tonight, I think, is really important Torahs of Kisavo. Important lessons. Not only Tichla Shana Kolsa, not only let the curses of the year end, but the messages of Kisavo, the Torah of Kisavo, is about entering into a land of holiness. It's about having holy eyes. It's about recognizing Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that this magnificent, powerful, awesome, beyond God, transcendent God is the Eibishter who loves you and cares about how your clothes fit and how your shoes are feeling. That's the same Ribono Shel Olam, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And that means that we make Hashem king over everything, but also we have to remember, it's not enough to make Hashem king over the universe. We have to make Hashem king over us. And to remember what the Derech Hashem is, and remember that how Moshe Emes v'Taraso Emes, to ask ourselves, part of the Cheshbon HaNefesh, are we living a life in which we hold ourselves to the standards of Torah, the standards of Moshe Rabbeinu, the standards of Halacha. And I think that these are all very important lessons from Parshas Kisavo. And Be'ez Hashem, with Hashem's help, you know, the Tochacha will become a thing of the past. One of the most important stories about the Tocha, Rabbi Riskin, should live and be well, should feel well, told that when he was, I think he was a teenager, that he davened by the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Yaksil Yehuda Halberstam, Zichus Yagin Aleinu, the Kleisenberger lost his wife and 11 children in the Shoah. And it was in his shtib, it was in his shul, that the Chazan, the Balkriya, was reading the Tochacha, Kisavo, quietly and quickly as the minhag that you read it. And the Kleisenberger clapped and screamed, Hecher. Screamed louder. And the Balkriya was like startled. What, like, did he just hear the Rebbe correctly? But he continued reading quietly, and the Rebbe gave a clap. Hecher! He said louder. Now it's unmistakable. And so the Balkriya, he reads louder. And the Rebbe said after, we have nothing to be afraid of anymore. This happened. This is done. We want the Eivishter to hear what we've lived through. And we have to go to Eretz Yisrael now. That's the next step. And the Kleisenberger picked himself up and created a community in Netanya. Kiryat Sanz created a beautiful halacha, a beautiful hospital run all kahalacha, Laniato Hospital, world-renowned for a lot of the treatments of children and how they do certain things. So that's why the Tochacha is a parsha that we don't have to sit and harv, you know, spend so much time with the curses. The curses, as the Kleisenberger said, they're done. The curses are done. There's a lot in Kisavo that we have to learn, and I hope that you can take what we learned together tonight and really think about it deeply over the next 2 weeks. Shkoyach.